Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, and it is almost time for the national championship game. And I realized that the casual college football fan may not be as interested in a rematch of two SEC teams in the national title game as, say, you know, somebody who watches the SEC all year. But there are good reasons to watch this game, particularly if you are an NFL fan whose team has a high draft pick, because there are some guys that are playing in this game who could be very, very high draft picks. To talk about that, we bring on Dane Brugler, the Athletic's draft guru, and we're going to talk about the guys in the national title game. We're going to talk about the QBs in this draft, and my personal favorite question that we will get to at the end, how high can a center go in the NFL draft? Because I think we might set a record this year. So, but Dane, how you doing?
I'm good, Andy. How are you? How's the new year treating you?
It's wonderful. I got a new pellet smoker. So working through that and trying to decide what I want to do a low and slow smoke on when I get back from the coaches convention, because haven't had time to do anything hefty. So may just, you know, go pork butt easy to start, and then work my way into a brisket. Into a brisket and then see if I can get it right.
I always feel like just kind of intimidated by brisket, because it's such a glorious piece of meat when you do it right, but it's so easy to get wrong. It's so easy to not get it exactly right. But man, when you get it right, there's nothing better.
Well, I tend to leave brisket to the professionals, because I believe that they, you know, you put in your 10,000 hours on brisket and you can do it. I have not. I'm going to Texas this weekend, so I think I'll probably, you know, stumble into some good brisket there, and then that'll stoke the desire to learn to do it more. But you're right. But it's almost like the difference between being a good college player and then ascending to the next level as an NFL player.
What a transition! You know,
anybody can. Oh yeah, look at that. But yeah, anybody can do a pork butt. Pretty much anybody can do spare ribs. But it's when you can do the brisket that you're truly in the elite. And so let's talk about that, because we've got the two best teams in college football, inarguably the two most talented teams in college football, and probably the two teams most loaded with draft prospects. And there are guys that we're going to be talking about in the first round that are playing. And I guess the best place to start is the Georgia D-line. Jordan Davis was a guy who got a lot of conversation this year. And we talked about him, you know, could he be a Heisman candidate? And then people are like, wait, he doesn't play every play. And I'm like, yeah, he's 330 pounds. Of course he doesn't play every play. But for an NFL team, like, where does a guy like him fit? Is he a nose in a 3-4? Can he be that big one technique, a jumbo size version of the one technique tackle in a four-man front? Is he pretty much on the board for anybody right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's scheme proof. He's 6'6", 360. The way that they use him, he has quickness from the backside, so he's going to chase down runs. He's going to create those 10-car pileups on the line of scrimmage and eliminate some of those run lanes on the interior. There's not going to be a scheme where you're going to say, yeah, he's just not a fit for us. So they're going to be able to use him. Now, I do think that there will be some schemes that say he wouldn't be as valuable to us relative to drafting him in the top 20 picks. That's going to be an interesting conversation. And I mean, you mentioned it, how, being in the Heisman conversation, but averaging 22 snaps a game, I mean, that's something that, you know, it helps keep him fresh. It helps, you know, you have to look at the total impact of what he's going to make for your football team. And he's going to impact it in the run game. There's no question about it. But does he give you anything on in passing situations? Can he be a pass rusher, or is he just a pusher? And he's more of just a pusher, and that's okay. You know, that there's obviously, you know, he's going to play a valuable role at the next level, but where you draft him is going to be an interesting conversation. And I think the answer will be different from team to team based off the scheme and what they prioritize and what exactly they're looking for. But, you know, obviously a good player. And, you know, I, before the national title game every year, what I do an article, so Athletic subscribers can look for it later this week, where I rank the top players on both teams in the game. And usually I start off, I say, okay, I'm going to do the top 25, but then, you know, after I start ranking these guys, it's like, okay, I got to extend it to 30. All right, now I got to extend it to 40 because there's just so many good players. You know, 2 years ago, LSU Clemson, I had no choice but to extend it. Last year, Alabama, Ohio State, same type of deal. I mean, probably over the last 15 years, the two biggest producers of NFL talent right there. This year, yeah, you mentioned it, Alabama, Georgia, no two teams have more 4- and 5-star guys on their rosters. And a lot of times that translates to NFL talent. It's no different with this group. So Georgia has a legitimate chance to match, maybe even set the record for total draft picks upcoming draft. The record's 14. Ohio State did it shortly after that national title game or national title win back in 2002-03. And then LSU did it 2 years ago. So, you know, just looking at it, you mentioned the defensive line, Trevon Walker, Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, three easy draft picks right there, assuming Trevon Walker declares. At linebacker, Quay Walker, Channing Tindall, both seniors, both are draftable. Fair assumption, N'Kobe Dean is going to come out.
Yeah.
He's going to be in that first round mix. That's three. So that's six right there. In the secondary, right there, DK Kendrick, easy starting talent. As long as the character checks out, he's going to be drafted. And then free safety, Lewis Cine, he's going to come out. He's going to be drafted. So that's eight so far. We're more than halfway there.
Sawyer on left tackle.
Sawyer at left tackle. Justin Schaefer at left guard. Two draft picks off that offensive line. In the backfield, James Cook and Zamir White. Both seniors, Cook's a senior, Zamir White, assuming he declares, both draftable players. So that's up to what, 12? So we need two more to get the record or to match the record. Nolan Smith at linebacker. I think he's on the fence about coming out. If he does, easy draft pick. And then George Pickens, what's he going to do? Coming off the ACL injury, you know, he's a big time talent. We don't know how much we're going to see of him in the national title game. But if he's 100%, it would not be a total shock if he declared. So, I mean, there are other guys we can talk about, but that's the path to 14 right there, and that matches the record. So George is just absolutely loaded.
Yeah, and that is why they are here and why they're in the mix with Alabama. Alabama, you know, we've argued on the college side that this is one of Nick Saban's better coaching jobs. This may not be necessarily his most stacked team. That said, there are still elite prospects on this team. I wanted to start with Evan Neal. I'm assuming Evan Neal will be the highest drafted 2022 draft pick in this game.
I think that's a fair call. I'm a big Trevon Walker fan. I think he's being underrated. I think that you know, it wouldn't shock me if Walker maybe inches his way up as we get closer and closer, just because, I mean, 6'5", 275, and Georgia has no problem dropping him in space and using him as a linebacker. I mean, he has that type of athleticism. Yeah. So when you have the length and power to rush off the edge, they'll line him up at nose tackle at times just because he can do it. He can do everything. I do think Trevon Walker is going to inch his way up, but I do think that it's fair to say Evan Neal's, you know, the favorite to be the first draft pick from this game. And really, this game doesn't have many slam dunk top 15 type of guys, but 15 to 32 second round. I mean, it just dominated by some of these Alabama and Georgia players. You know, Alabama at linebacker with To'o To'o and Christian Harris. You know, both those guys have a decision to make after this game about whether they're going to go pro or not. Mathis on the defensive line, he's a top. He could be a top three defensive tackle in this class. And I wish we could talk about Will Anderson because he'd be the easy number one pick. But obviously,
and he will be in 2023.
It just come down to the quarterbacks. Who you know who's picking number one, and if they need a quarterback and CJ Stroud and Bryce Young and all that. But yeah, he is the easy, top non-quarterback prospect if you're eligible.
Yeah, that's it. I had him number one on my Heisman ballot. We haven't Smart seen man. A season like that from an edge rusher in a long, long time, and or from a D lineman in general. I mean, Sue had that sort of season as an interior lineman, which is even a little bit harder, I think. But yeah, it's hard to put into context how much of an impact he makes on that defense. We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Neal thing's interesting to me because I remember seeing Evan Neal in high school. I went to do a story on Daniel Fa'alele, who's now the right tackle at Minnesota. And this was when Daniel was coming over from Australia, hadn't even played a game yet, but already had like 25 offers because he was 6'9", 400 and can move. And so I'm watching Daniel at practice, but the folks at IMG are like, now this guy has offers from basically every school in the country pointing at Evan Neal. And you watch him move, and it was probably 350, 360 at the time. And it's like, how does somebody that big move that fluidly?
Yeah, he's just has such a unique blend of size, quickness, and flexibility. It's just, it's very, very uncommon. And that helps him really be an impact guy in the passing game and pass protection, but also in the run game, getting out in space and collecting himself on the move. And he's with that length, he's just able to cast a wide net in the run game. He can scoop, he can drive, physical hands at contact. There's a lot you can do with a player like that. And, there are some areas of his game that he needs to clean up. He tends to fall off blocks. He doesn't have the best lateral range in terms of protecting the corner against some elite speed guys. But, he's a guy that has a lot of the tools to be a long-term NFL starter. And I tell you what, he's done a nice job at left tackle. I think and there's something to be said about, he's been in Tuscaloosa 3 years. 3 years, he started at three different positions. At guard, then at right tackle, now at left tackle. So he brings, there's no projection in terms of versatility. He has proven it that he could play inside, could play outside, can play left tackle, right tackle. There's a little bit of, maybe a little more coordinated version of like an Orlando Brown, that type of player. So, he's going to be in the mix to be not even the first offensive lineman drafted, but maybe even the first offensive player drafted. I mean, he is in that in that mix. But I will say he's, you know, Ike Ekwonu from NC State, Charles Cross from Mississippi State. Both those guys are pretty, they're right there with Evan Neal. I don't think it's going to be a consensus in terms of the top tackle this year. Different teams will look at these guys a little bit differently.
Well, it feels like the top five or six picks could go a bunch of different ways because there's not that quarterback there. I mean, that will it basically come down to how this last week goes and how the draft order gets set just based on the needs of those teams?
Probably in a way. This is just one of those years, and I think it's almost like a disclaimer. You know, it's important for Lions fans, for Jaguars fans, for, you know, any team picking top five, top seven, to maybe just temper their expectations a little bit. This is just, it's not a great year to be picking top five relative to most years. You know, there's no Myles Garrett, there's no Chase Young, there's no Jamar Chase, no Kyle Pitts. You know, the clear-cut, easy, blue-chipper, elite prospect at the top. And without those quarterbacks, like you mentioned, that also takes away some of the trade-back opportunities. You know, so teams won't be able to get a boatload of picks by moving back. That's just probably not going to happen this year. So, you know, don't get me wrong. There are good players. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau and Hutchinson, and, you know, we talked about Evan Neal. These are good players. But I tell you, if we took last year's draft class and brought it to this year, there might not be a player in this class that would be drafted top 10. And, you know, it's, again, these are Thibodeau, Hutchinson, Neal, these Kyle Hamilton, these guys are good players, but they're just not, you know, they're not viewed as the clear cut elite top five, no brainer guys. And so this draft as a whole, I think, is a good draft. It's just missing some of those high-end blue-chip prospects at the top.
Yeah, it feels like it's a little deeper, like at the top of the second round through the middle of the third round, that you could get some quality starters there. But the guaranteed stars – and, yeah, the Pitts example is great because he was so unique and so different. And, of course, he was going to go higher than most tight ends get drafted because you don't see anybody like that. There isn't any – when you think about it, there's one, and we'll get to him later. There's one guy at one position where he's just different than anybody else you see. But it's not a very sexy position. So we'll get to that in a second. But let's go to the sexiest position. Let's go to QB. QB1, probably not going to be the number one overall pick. May not even be a top 10 pick this year.
Yeah.
Who would you think – who are the top three candidates right now to be that first QB off the board?
You know, and it's tough because these quarterbacks, you can poke holes in all of them. There are guys that are easy to like but hard to love, and that's really the general feeling around the league. You know, just talking to scouts, talking to people in the NFL, that's how they view them too. It's hard to have just complete conviction with any of these quarterbacks and say, yeah, okay, this is a guy that in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, he's going to be able to lead us to the playoffs. You know, he's going to be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. It's just hard to really have confidence saying that about any of these five or six quarterbacks at the top. And really, when you look at last year, you could legitimately say that about the top five quarterbacks in last year's draft with Lawrence and Lance and Fields and Wilson and Mac Jones. I mean, you could convince yourself that, hey, you know what, this guy, if we put him in our system, we coach him up, we do this and that, he's going to be a winner for us. And that's why all five went in the top 15 picks this year. When you look at Matt Corral, he's an easy guy to like because he's a competitor. Everything he does is quick. The movements, the delivery, he's got a big time arm. He's just an easy player to like. There's some Zach Wilson parallels there with just the way they move around. But Corral being in the SEC, he's played some better competition. There's a lot to like about, him as a passer, but also as a runner. His mobility is a big part of his game. And so I think Matt Corral right now, I would say, is a favorite to be quarterback one. The ankle injury, the x-rays were negative, hopefully no long-term effects. But then after that, Kenny Pickett, coming back for his fifth year, taking advantage of that extra year, you could argue no one made more of a jump this year in terms of draft terms than Kenny Pickett. You know, he was a fifth round pick last year. Coming back, he just, everything settled down for him. You know, talking to his former OC, Coach Whipple, just saying how you can't, there's no substitute for experience. And that's how he explained Kenny Pickett's rise this year, his improvements. Just seeing the defense, understanding what they were trying to do, everything slowing down for him. And I think on a lot of levels, that's what happened. His accuracy from different platforms, that's going to translate to the next level. He doesn't have the most explosive arm. He doesn't have, you know, a lot of the physical traits are good, just not great. It's kind of in that Joe Burrow realm in terms of just the physical tools. Joe Burrow is a special quarterback because obviously he's so good with his mind. Kenny Pickett's not quite on that level, but he's, you know, they live on the same street. So right. For Pickett, where do you feel comfortable drafting a player like that? For some teams, that could be top 15. Other teams, that they'll have second round grades on them. So I would say Corral, Pickett, and then the third quarterback, you know, Malik Willis is an exciting player. Desmond Ridder has done so much. He's got the resume. But I'll say Sam Howell. And, you know, just
that's what I was going to ask you about, because Howell had an interesting year where they couldn't run the ball that well. He ends up being one of their better. He's their second leading rusher. If you back out sacks, he might have been over 1,000 yards.
He had 700 yard games this year. If you take away the lost sack yardage, which is, I mean, crazy when you think about it. But yeah, that offensive identity of that offense changed so much from last year. When you take away those two running backs, when you take away his top two receivers, just everything they did was very different. And you know, it in terms of having that swan song last year and competing for the Heisman and all, you know, it didn't go according to script, but the reasons NFL teams like Sam Howell coming into the year, those reasons are still there. The arm talent, the poise, the mobility, he might be the best, might have the best deep ball in this class. So with Sam Howell, there's still a lot of reasons to be optimistic about what he's going to be at the next level. And look, if there's anything we know, it's just the NFL quarterback desperation is a real thing. So even though this isn't the best quarterback class, there's going to be quarterbacks drafted first round. If you give me an over under of 2.5, I'm taking the over first round quarterbacks. I'd say there's at least three. Corral, Pickett, Howell right now, you know, early January, that's what I would say. But, you know, we got the Senior Bowl coming up here. And, you know, Sam Howell, I don't know if it's public yet, but I think he's about to accept his Senior Bowl invitation. True junior, but he graduated, so he's eligible. Really, all these quarterbacks will be at the Senior Bowl. Strong in there from Nevada, Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder, Kenny Pickett, Bailey Zappe from Western Kentucky. I mean, he's a draftable player. Really, the only quarterback that won't be able to go is Corral. He is not eligible. So, you know, a lot can change throughout the draft process. And as we know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. All it takes is one team to fall in love with one of these guys. And, you know, Daniel Jones going top 10 because the Giants fell in love with him at the Senior Bowl. You know, that could happen this year with one of these quarterbacks. So we'll have to wait and see.
Dave Gettleman falls fast and falls hard, so you don't have to worry. Yeah. Don't have to worry about that anymore. But yeah, I am curious to see who, because Malik Willis is the one that, for those who love the traits, they will be standing behind him when he's throwing. They will hear it sizzle out of his hand. They will watch the kind of wrist flick release and be like, wow.
Yeah.
But he played in an offense where, you know, you're not reading the whole field. A lot of times the coach is basically telling you where to throw. And that's, I hope for some of these guys, because as you pointed out, some of these guys can be good, but if they get thrown in right away, it's probably not going to work. I hope for their sakes that they wind up, you know, maybe a later end of a round pick to a good team that already has a quarterback situation that's fairly settled. And then they can work their way in, because, you know, I always wonder if Patrick Mahomes doesn't have that first year behind Alex Smith, is he still Patrick Mahomes now?
Well, and I I've always wondered, okay, if Pat Mahomes, say, just switch him and Trubisky. So he goes to Chicago and just not, not even just not having that year to sit, but the support system around him, the coaches, you know, working with him, you know, during the week in the quarterback room and bringing him along. And obviously the personnel, his teammates, the talent around him. If you switch Mahomes and Trubisky, what's the trajectory of both their careers? It's a fascinating what if, and it's part of the reason why, you know, the quarterback position, the evaluation part of it is, it's so tough because you just, there's so many variables about where these guys are going to end up and how they're going to react to what's thrown at them. So this is a really unsettled quarterback class.
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
So speaking of unsettled, I am 70 miles from Jacksonville. And other than the folks putting the clown with the Shad Khan mustache on their emojis, the biggest question / debate is who are they going to take number one overall? Because I have zero faith in them beating the Colts this week. So I'm slotting them in at the number one pick. But you have your Kayvon Thibodeau fans, you have your Aiden Hutchinson fans. And obviously that might not wind up being the debate at number one, but it feels like it is now. And it's definitely the edge rusher debate. So who do you like best of those two?
I they're both good players. They win in different ways. I would lean slightly with Hutchinson over Thibodeau, but I don't think there's a big gap between the two. And kind of like we hit on before, I just think it's important for, you know, people to look at these players, and they're not the Boses. They're not Chase Young. They're just not on that level. When you talk to teams about, okay, you know, Thibodeau, you know, what kind of player do you think he is? What's a comparison? You hear names like Harold Landry and Vic Beasley and, you know, like guys that are good players, but they're not the Pro Bowl, no doubt about it, type of guys. Aiden Hutchinson, you know, I do think there are some similarities with the Bosas when you talk about how well they use their hands, some of the quickness off the snap, the motor that they play with. Hutchinson just doesn't have the same type of bend or the arc skills.
They're so fluid.
Right. And Hutchinson just doesn't have that. But, I mean, he obviously wins in, you know, with being with those heavy hands and understanding how to break down the rhythm of blockers. It's just he can win with power in his upper half, but he's also agile. He can move with his lower half as well, so he can find the gap and disrupt the backfield. So not only that, but he's just wired the right way. The competitive play personality, it's all there. He's wired like a Watt. He has that in him, and that's certainly going to help him throughout the process. Thibodeau, not saying he doesn't have that, but just not on the same level. Thibodeau, he understands how to create leverage as a pass rusher. He's really good with his length, his flexibility. He can get underneath guys. There's no question, I think, in this draft, he's a top five talent and absolutely should be considered at number one. I just think there needs to be context there just for fans to have expectations, not expecting him to come in and be a Myles Garrett or a Chase Young.
Jags fans worried about, you know, who's going to be the GM right now, but also – Wait. So you're saying you got the number one pick and might get another Kalavon Chase on? What's going on with this?
Yeah. Or I mean, you know, and you look at their team, they, you know, Josh Allen, another top 10 draft pick. They have not got the pass rush production that they should have considering the draft capital they've used at the position. So yeah. And Thibodeau is not going to come in and be that, the white knight who's going to, you know, come in and solve all their problems, but he'll be a good player. You know, he'll come in and, you know, be a nice part of that rotation if that's the direction they go. But who knows? Maybe they'll look at the offensive line and they say, Evan Neal, you know, he could really be a stabilizing force for us. Or I'm telling you, don't count out Ike Ekwonu. It would not shock me at all if he's offensive tackle one for some of these teams. And we're going to hear a lot of fans saying, okay, well, we got to trade back then. Who's moving up? You know, which team's giving up draft capital to go up and get one of these guys? It's probably not. It's possible. So if a team falls in love with Thibodeau or one of these players, just probably not likely.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Jaguars, at least you let Cam Robinson walk instead of, you know, they franchised him. And so instead of giving him a big extension, you let him walk. You use that on a free agent in a position of need. And then you figure out what you want to do, if you want to have Juwan Taylor starting somewhere, or do you do Walker Little and some guy you picked this year? So, yeah, it's going to be the teams that are a little more creative that can figure this out. You're right. Get somebody who you feel like is going to play for you for a long time.
Well, and this
it's not going to be the big impact.
There are two defensive backs that I think, you know, we should at least mention. You know, traditionally safeties aren't drafted top five. That's just not really where teams go. But you could make an easy argument that Kyle Hamilton's the most talented player in this draft. You could make that argument, you know, with your eyes closed, and you know, it'd be easy. Now, do you have the defensive scheme and the structure where he's going to, if you draft him that high, he's going to make that type of impact? You know, that's debatable, and that's something that teams will have to figure out in war rooms as they debate and draft or put these guys on their draft board. But then also Derek Stingley, who we just haven't seen much of this year because of his injury. But you know, the guy we saw as a freshman, he's still there. You know, that talent didn't go anywhere, and so you know, Derek Stingley should also be in that mix, assuming medicals are okay, interviews are okay, all that. But, you know, I think those are two players, two defensive backs that should at least be mentioned at the top as being in that conversation that teams should consider.
Let's talk about another guy who probably won't go top five, but, oh, I don't know. You say there are not a lot of generational talents in this draft, but there might be one. Tyler Linderbaum, the center from Iowa. That's right. If you need a center who can pull and lead on a sweep, this is your man. And he can do just about everything else too. But this is, you know, one of the least sexy positions. It's not drafted in a sexy way. It's not, it's rarely considered even for a first round pick, much less a top 10 pick. What makes him so different that he would even be in consideration for that?
He's going to be really interesting because, you know, like on one hand, you could see him being the first top 10 center we've ever had, at least in the modern era. You know, we've just not had that guy because the talent warrants it. And, you know, like we talked about, it's just not a great year at the top. So would not be hard for a team to talk themselves into Tyler Linderbaum in the top 10. But on the other hand, NFL teams a lot of them are so shackled by some of these size thresholds. And, you know, they need to hit this mark with arm length and things like that. And Linderbaum, he's 6'2 and a half, 290 pounds. He's got shorter arms. That's going to be a problem for some teams. But when you look at the talent, and you know, that might drop him a little bit. It wouldn't shock me if he's drafted, say, 22 overall. Because, you know, first of all, not everyone needs a center. And the teams that do need a center, they might be, you know, focused on, you know, the lack of size. But if a team picking top 10 needs a center and I could see him falling in love with this guy. He's a first round player all day. He reminds me a lot of Jason Kelce because he's so mean. So, you know, he has that competitive mentality where he's going to play after the whistle, flexible in his lower body. He can fire out of his stance, redirect, move laterally. His ability to reach block is absurd. He's so good at gaining leverage, sealing blocks.
So if you're in a zone scheme, how do you not? Because just to kind of put this in context, what Dane is saying by reach block means person is lined up outside of you. Play is going outside of that person. You must seal off that person for the play that will go further outside. So you've got to get, he's starting out outside you and you got to get outside him.
Yeah.
And this guy can snap the ball and then do that.
Yeah. Imagine a three technique that's, you know, head up over the B gap, and he's able to, in a fluid motion, snap, explode, and get ahead of that defensive tackle. He does it effortless. I mean, it doesn't look like it's hard for him. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, it's when the Vikings drafted Garrett Bradbury top 20 a couple of years ago out of NC State, I think they were hoping it would be a Tyler Linderbaum. I think Tyler Linderbaum can be that type of player. And so especially for a team running that outside zone, Linderbaum's going to be an awfully appealing guy. And look, he's not overpowering. He's not going to be able to just toss Fletcher Cox in the NFL. That's just not going to happen. But he's so good at resetting on the move, being able to reestablish leverage mid rep, getting the upper hand. He's a guy. I think you look at the top 10, a team like the Giants would make a lot of sense. If the Steelers maybe jumble up that offensive line a little bit, move guys around, he could be in the mix there. So there's a lot of teams that are going to be looking at Tyler Linderbaum as, you know, like you said, not the most sexy position, but we're getting a heck of a football player.
It's a sexy pick to me, Dane. That's what I want to see. Top 10 center. Make it happen, NFL teams. So that's going to be my draft night drinking game, I think. Anytime someone says top 10 center, boom. So yeah. we gotta have some way to liven this one up, because we don't have the Trevor Lawrence at the top. But I can't wait. It's going to be fun. And I can't wait to watch the national title game to see which of these guys flashes, because it could be anybody. Dane, thank you so much. We're going to bother you a lot more between now and April, and cannot wait for all this.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, man.